Scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you and to be able to gather together and to worship God this morning. I know we still have a good chunk that are out traveling, and we have some who are back, and we're glad that you're back and that we have the opportunity to be able to worship our Lord together this morning. I do hope that you brought your singing voices this morning, because we will be doing some more singing this morning. We are going to continue this, or conclude this, West Side's Favorite Hymns series this morning. I have been tasked with bringing the final lesson, and I got with Dylan and decided that we would do a bit of a sermon in song. And so Dylan has graciously agreed to help us with that, and so we're going to put him to work this morning, and I hope that'll be beneficial to all of us, to help us to drive home the thoughts of the songs that it is that we are singing. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, Paul says that I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. I think it's part of the importance of our singing and worship is that we understand the words that we are saying, and we are speaking truth to one another. And if there are songs that are not grounded in truth, we should not be singing them. But it's good to be able to examine the words of these songs and to ensure that their messages are scriptural and that they are in accordance with the word of God. And so today we will look at the song, It Is Well With My Soul, which I believe is number 626 in our book. Before we actually jump into the words of the song, I want to give some of the background, because I think it is very helpful to appreciating the message of the song. I'm sure it's something that many of you have heard already, but it was written by Horatio Spafford, who lived from 1828 to 1888. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer, and he had a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home and wife, and four daughters and a son. In addition to being a lawyer, he was also an elder at a Methodist church. And his circle of friends included Dwight Moody, Ira Sankey, and other well-known songwriters of the day. You might see their names in the songbooks as you flip through. At the very height of his professional and financial success, Horatio and his wife, Anna, suffered the tragic loss of their young son. And then shortly thereafter, on October 8th of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. And so in 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from some of the tragedy that they had experienced. And he also went to join with Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign throughout England. And at the last minute, there became a bit of business that Horatio needed to attend to, so he sends his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some of that business. Several days later, his family's ship had collided with another vessel and sank, killing 226 people, including all four of his daughters. Only his wife had survived, and he received a telegram from his wife saying, "Saved alone." And so with a heavy heart, Spafford boards another boat traveling to England to meet with his grieving wife. And it is said that he was told about the approximate location that the vessel that had carried his wife and daughters had been hit and sunk. And this was the spot where they had been captured by the sea. And then he went and penned the words to this great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And so this story provides us with some great depth and meaning to the already wonderful hymn that we love. But it serves to remind us that we can enjoy great peace and contentment in whatever place we may find ourselves. And so now that we have a bit of the background behind it, I want to consider the words of this song. In just a moment, Dylan's going to lead us in the song number 223, Peace, Perfect Peace. But it kind of helps to drive home that point of the beginning of this song, which begins with, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And so from that first verse, we recognize that regardless of our lot in life, whatever state we may find ourselves in, we can have peace, or we can say, it is well with my soul. It begins with that reminder that life is going to bring ups and downs. There are going to be times where we experience that peace like a river. There's going to be times where sorrows like sea billows will roll. Times are going to go great for us at times. Things are going to go bad for us at times. Sometimes we're going to struggle with those sorrows. And the Bible addresses those varying points in each of our lives. And sometimes when things go well, people tend to forget about God. In Proverbs 30, and beginning in verse 8, we find recorded for us, keep worthlessness and every false word far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is Yahweh? Or lest I be impoverished and steal and profane the name of my God. He wants to have enough, or to learn contentment with what he has, lest he have too much and forget about God, or things continue to just go well and he forgets his need for God, or lest things become so bad that he resorts to things that are contrary to the will of God. Now, certainly we don't want to be in a place where the goodness of our lives causes us to forget about God. But we also don't want to reach a point similar to Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, where people tend to complain when difficulties come. I think Jonah would be a fair example. If you recall the story of Jonah, he was sent to go preach to Nineveh, but he didn't want to do that. And so he turns away and ends up in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights. And then he ends up reluctantly going to Nineveh, preaching to them, and the city repents. And Jonah's bitter about that. I don't know why, but he is. And then you find God trying to teach him this lesson, and so he's sitting down laying, kind of pouting, and so God causes this plant to come and to shade him. And Jonah's rather happy about that, and then God causes a worm to come and cause the plant to wither, and then Jonah is embittered by that, and God has a bit of a discussion by that, but you see Jonah complaining because things weren't going just the way that Jonah wanted them to go. Too often people do that, right? We know of times when people face various struggles and difficulties in their life, and they just complain and complain and complain. Why me? Poor, pitiful me. But this song reminds us, and I think that we see the attitude in Mr. Spafford here, that he didn't have this wallowing spirit. Rather, he was one who approached this tragedy with faith and remembered, it is well with my soul. So whatever state we may find ourselves in life, we can have peace, or we can be content because we know God. I think that's part of the idea of saying, it is well with my soul. There's contentment. There's a peace that is there. And we can truly say, it is well with my soul because we have God. I think that's part of what Paul expresses in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Philippians 4, in verse 11, Paul describes both aspects of life, where he says, not that I speak from want, for I learn to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in abundance. In any and all things, I have learned the secret of both being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and of suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is acknowledging the reality of whether you're in times of need or times of difficulty or times of sorrow or in times of abundance, he says, I've learned to be content and to live with a spirit of contentment, knowing that God is with me. And we can, especially in the midst of the difficult times, we're able as people of faith to say, it is well with my soul, because we know that God is our refuge. In Psalm 46 in verse 1, we find the Psalm of Korah, the sons of Korah, which begin with a wonderful declaration. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountain shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride. I think that kind of essentially further emphasizes or kind of emphasizes the same concept as our song here. It is well with my soul because God is my refuge and my strength. And so despite the trials of life, we can be at peace knowing that God is a God who gives us peace. As we noted a moment ago, or read a moment ago in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, God says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Jesus in John 14 and verse 27 says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. But he gives us that peace which surpasses understanding. And so with that in mind, with these thoughts in mind, we will sing Peace, Perfect Peace. And before we sing that, I do want to note that this is a song which states the concept of this perfect peace and in a manner of a question. As in, can I have peace in this dark world of sin? And the second half of the verse is going to answer that, to show that through Christ we can enjoy the peace that God brings us. And so with that in mind, we'll ask Dylan to lead that for us.
Number 223, peace, perfect peace, number 223. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26, verse 3.
Thank you. As we come to the second verse, it begins with the expression of, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. So though we are faced with temptations and trials, we can rest or can have peace or say it is well with my soul because we have been redeemed. So in a moment, Dylan will lead us in redeemed number 411. But we notice that as children of God, we are targeted by Satan. As the song begins, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, Satan is on the attack. And he's attempting to draw us away from God and ultimately to draw us away from the peace that we know in him. But we find the exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 5 and beginning in verse 8 where Peter writes, "Be of sober spirit, be watchful, because your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour him. But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing the same experiences of suffering are accomplished among your brethren who are in the world." And so we are targeted by Satan. He's going to overwhelm us sometimes with temptation and try to draw us away. And the reality is we're the ones that he wants. He's already got the world on his side. We're the ones that he's coming after so that he can draw us away. And whether it's the attack of Satan or just life in general, we know that life is going to be filled with various trials. Sometimes our trials are going to be directly related to our temptation. Sometimes our own, whether we succumb to temptation or just dealing with the various temptations of life, that's going to bring difficulties or trials to our lives. Other times, as Paul states in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, the trials that we face are directly related to our faith in Christ. Paul says those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. And much like Jesus tells us throughout his ministry that if we follow him, we will suffer persecutions of various kinds. Other times, we're going to face trials that are no relation to anybody in particular. It's just part of life, the unfortunate reality of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 11, Solomon writes, "I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the wise, nor riches to the discerning, nor favor to men who know. For time and misfortune overtake them all." The reality is, good things happen to bad people. And the reality is we're not immune. Just because we're children of God, we're not immune to the happenings of life. And we're not immune to the various trials and difficulties and misfortunes that people face. But the difference is, as people of faith, we have a new perspective about us to be able to walk through those things, to walk through that idea. We can take comfort and take peace and rest knowing that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We can take assurance in the redemption that has been provided through Christ. Sometimes, as we go through these trials, sometimes as we go through these difficulties, we may feel as if no one cares for us, as if we're all alone and as if there's no one who understands and no one who cares. But God does. As the song says, "Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." That reminds me of what we find in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 36. As Jesus is going around these cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, he's preaching and he's healing every kinds of disease and every kind of sickness. And it says in verse 36, "Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd." Does anyone care? Jesus cares. So much so that he offered himself as the sacrifice for sin so that we could be redeemed, that we could face these trials of life with hope and in peace. In Philippians 2, as Paul is urging Christians in Philippi to think of themselves or think of others before themselves and think of others more highly than themselves, he says, "Have this way of thinking in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men." And the reality is he did all those things. He took the form of a man. He was beaten and ultimately killed on the cross for our benefit, because he was thinking of us before himself. He was
putting our needs before his own needs. And by his wounds, we are healed.
And so he died, he cared so much that he died to reconcile us back to God. I appreciate the sentiment of Paul in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. And throughout these verses, Paul declares that we are ungodly, we are sinners, we are objects of the wrath of God and enemies of God because of our sin. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Paul is declaring the redemption that is given to us through Jesus. Not just that we are cleansed of sin, but that fellowship that has been broken by our sin has been restored. And so now we can be reconciled back to God and enjoy the presence and the peace that comes from knowing God. And so despite the trials of life, we can know peace knowing that we are redeemed and that one day we will join with the Lord for all of eternity. So we can face the buffeting of Satan or the trials that may come in this life, and we can say, it is well with my soul because I am redeemed. And so we can enjoy the goodness and the peace of God, knowing that we have been redeemed and can proclaim that redemption to us. And so at this time, we will sing Redeemed, number 411.
Number 411, Redeemed, number 411. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
What a blessing it is to be able to be called children of God. In just a moment, we will be singing, He Carried My Sorrows, as we notice the third verse of our song, which speaks to the blessing of the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. One of the reasons that we're able to say it is well with my soul is because of the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Christ. Though we were sinners, as Paul states in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Though we are sinners, though we are separated from God and destined for eternal condemnation, Jesus offers himself as the sacrifice for sin, dying on the cross to provide that redemption. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the author here quotes several times from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. As the author here is kind of expanding on the thoughts that were expressed there in the prophecy to from Jeremiah. And it centers around what you find in verses 17 and 18 of Hebrews chapter 10. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. It's really the heart of that covenant, that new covenant, where God would forgive his people of their sins. In verse 18, now where there is no, where there's forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Because Jesus carried my sorrows. Jesus died for us. Jesus offered himself as that sacrifice for sin. And the depth of this redemption we can find expressed so beautifully in the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 18, as the prophet says, come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And then we read in Micah chapter 7, Micah chapter 7 and beginning in verse 18 through 20, it says, who is a God like you who forgives iniquity and passes over the transgression and the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold fast to his anger forever because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cause, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Let us truly appreciate God's willingness, or trust in his willingness to forgive us, so that we can truly say, it is well with my soul. And before we move on to the song that we're about to sing, I do want to note the expression at the end of this verse, praise the Lord, O my soul. As we are touched by the great depth of love and mercy and grace that has been showered upon us, it ought to leave us with nothing less than praise for God, for his love that was poured out upon us. Certainly God is worthy of praise. We find in the expression in Revelation 4 and verse 11, at this throne scene, it says those who sit on the throne will worship him forever, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. God is worthy of our worship because of this forgiveness that he has provided, because of the redemption that it brings, and the hope that it provides. And it's the reason we can say, it is well with my soul. And so we're going to sing, he carried my sorrows, and I want to notice at the end of each verse, as it expresses the fact that Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from sin, it ends with, I worship my King, and that expression of praise for that great sacrifice. And so we'll sing 671, he carried my sorrow.
He carried my sorrows, number 671, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Bye.
This brings us to our final verse, which speaks of the Lord's return. O Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. Reminds us that the Lord is going to return one day, and we can say it is well with my soul because we know what's going to happen when that day comes. He will call the faithful to himself, and thus they shall always be with the Lord. Paul wrote to comfort the Thessalonians regarding those who had passed away in Christ, regarding those who had fallen asleep in Jesus. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." So we look forward in hope to that great redemption where we get to see the fullness of this redemption when we get to dwell with the Lord forevermore. Revelation 1 and verse 7 tells us that he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Yes, amen. But not only should we rejoice in this return, we should hasten it. It says, the Lord hasten the day when the faith shall be sight. When ultimately we get to look upon our Lord face to face. When we get to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. When you get to be like him. Peter wrote regarding the coming of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Where he says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And he describes the heavens will melt with intense heat, and the earth and the works will be found out. Since all these things are to be destroyed, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will burning will be destroyed, and the elements will melt with intense heat. And so we should not just have hope that one day it will come, but hasten the coming of the Lord. Lord, come quickly. Ought to be the way that we should live. And a couple of reasons for that. We know that we will receive our crown, as Paul describes that crown of righteousness that is awaiting him as he goes on to meet the Lord after his life is over. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53, that we will all be clothed in immortality. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And thus we can always be with the Lord. And what a glorious reunion it will be when we can join with the Lord and we can dwell in his presence for all of eternity. What a morning of joy that surely will be. And so as we think about the coming of the Lord and the fact that we will dwell with him, we will sing in the morning of joy as we look forward to that great and joyful morning.
In the morning of joy, number 528, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Thank you.
What a glorious day that will be when we can dwell with the Lord for all evermore. We can look forward in hope to that day because we have been redeemed, because we enjoy the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Christ, and we are awaiting patiently that day when all this earth will be burned up and we can go on to our eternal reward. We can know God and we can know all the things that He has accomplished, and through Christ we can know peace. Whatever state we can find ourselves in, we can truly say, it is well with my soul. I hope that I'm able to have the same faith that Mr. Spafford did, that when difficult trials and sufferings come upon me, I can in the same way say, it is well with my soul. And so I hope this has been an encouragement to all of us. I want to thank Dylan for his assistance in all of that. He for so willingly helping in that, but also so capably leading all these songs for us. Also thank Dennis for doing double duty, put him to work a little extra as well this morning. I thank them for that. But I hope we can appreciate even more this great hymn that we have loved already, that reminds us of the great blessings that we enjoy in Christ, and that we can truly say, it is well with my soul. So if there's any way in which we can help you in living a life that is pleasing to God, or coming to God into so that you can say, it is well with my soul, we'd be glad to help you, glad to walk with you and to pray with you and encourage you in any way that we can. If you need to obey the gospel, or if you need to make your life right, we're here to help you, to assist you, to walk with you and to pray with you in any way that we can. And so if there's any spiritual need that you may have, if you need to respond to our Lord's invitation, who's bidding you to come, why not now as we stand and sing together?